Well, it certainly is autumn. The kids are back in school, the leaves are starting to change, and school marching bands are on the field. As high-stepping musicians pump out We Will Rock You and Hawaii 5-0, at least one student began to wonder whether band members put their hearing at risk. Joseph Keefe is an acoustical engineer and a recent graduate of Duke University. As a longtime marching band member, Joseph knew all about the deafening sound of drum beats and piccolos. So for his senior honor thesis, Joseph tested the sound levels at local band practices and compared those findings to OSHA-approved noise levels. His findings would make you think twice before taking a seat in front of the wind section. Joseph, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. What gave you the idea to do this research?
Well, I've been a musician since fourth or fifth grade, and I have been a marching band since eighth grade. And I took a course at Duke called Acoustics and Music. It's a introductory level physics and music cross-list course taught by a professor, Dewey Lawson, who works at the Research Triangle Institute on cochlear implants. And I took the course because I was a physics and music double major, and it was something that linked the two together. And it gave me an interest in the general subject of acoustics. And the final assignment for that class, instead of an exam, was a research paper. And I decided, just because I guess I'd always been curious and I wanted to incorporate music into my work, I decided to write about musicians and hearing loss.
Yeah, of course, it's a big subject in rock bands, and there's no surprise to anybody who's been a member of a rock band or gone to a lot of rock concerts that that's pretty deadly, but at least to the ears. But
that's
marching
right.
bands, I guess we figured that was a pretty benign form of music, even though, yeah, it's loud. And so what did you find?
Well, everybody thinks, of course, that because the rock band is amplified, that the potential for danger is there, and people don't normally think about that for a band.
Right.
Of course, a rock band is only, you know, four or five, six guys, and the band can be the marching band can be upwards of 100. So I found that that there was a definite potential for some hearing loss here. Now, of course, the study did not measure hearing loss. What I looked at was the risk, and compared it to noise exposure standards. And those standards are designed to take people in the workplace and evaluate the risk of temporary hearing loss that they would get every day, and of course over the course of their working life. Standards are based on 40 years, the potential that they would have permanent loss. Now, no one really understands the relationship between temporary hearing loss and permanent hearing loss. There's a basic assumption that if you get enough temporary loss, or you keep it for long enough, or it's a large level of loss, that some or all of that will become permanent at some point in time.
So what you can do, at least in your limited study, was measure how loud the marching band was.
It's called sound pressure level. It's not technically a measure of loudness, although the differences are mostly technical, and the sound pressure level is subjectively interpreted by the human brain and the ears as how loud something is.
Right, because if we use machines, I mean, the fact is our brain sometimes intervenes for us and makes things that are too loud over a long period of time seem less loud. It makes it more tolerable in some ways.
Well, there's that. There's also the fact that if you spend enough time, which might not be actually a very long period of time at all, around something that's loud enough, it will sound quieter because you have some temporary hearing loss.
Got some loss. How about the risk for band members compared with those in the audience?
If you're sitting in front of the band, you might as well be in the band for most intents and purposes. The band is loud enough that the idea is that people can hear you across the football stadium.
Right.
And, of course, if you're ever around a football game with a marching band and you're not even at the game, you can usually hear at least some part of the band, the bass drums.
That would be the drum you'd hear.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because that's a non-directional sound. At Duke, for example, the student section is next to the band. That keeps people away from high-frequency noise that's directional, because most of that comes forward towards the football field.
So that's the piccolos and the wind instruments. Those are the high frequencies.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, not all wind instruments. Well, any instrument will become more directional the higher it plays.
Right.
So. Trumpets become the most directional due to the shape of the bell and the way the instrument is held. I didn't take a look at this in depth, but just as a subjective comment, things are pretty loud if everyone's up and yelling and cheering and all that without the band playing.
Right.
I'm pretty sure, for example, that in Cameron Indoor Stadium during a Duke basketball game, you could take away the band and anybody not near it would have pretty much the same noise exposure that they would with the band.
Joseph, thank you very much.
No problem.
Joseph Keefe is an acoustical engineer and a recent graduate of Duke University. That's the state of things for today. Thank you for listening. If you have a comment, you can send us an email at sot@wunc.org. On Monday, my colleague Melinda Penkava will be here to inaugurate the new studios at the American Tobacco Historic District in downtown Durham. We'll start the week with a close look at the neighborhoods, personalities, history, and the current controversial issues in the city of Durham. We hope you'll join us. Support for the State of Things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Frank Stacia.